With us today is Governor David Patterson, and he is with us every Sunday morning to give us his pulse on what's going on in our city, our state, our country. And Governor, I mean, there's so many things happening. Where would you like to start this morning?
Well, John, the pulse is very close to me because I am a graduate of Columbia University, so obviously has a real interest in what's going on there. And what's going on there really in a lot of ways affects the whole country. I mean, the Speaker of the House went to support the Jewish community there, and other people have gone for different reasons. Robert Kraft has called for the resignation of the president. There's a lot going on. And to clear up the confusion, what I think the problem is those who are in support of the people in Palestine, who many of them are starved and they have very, very difficult lives to lead at this particular time. But this has been going on for a long time. And even with this problem, the Palestinians voted for Hamas to actually be, in a sense, the government that would run that particular area. This is a government whose stated purpose is to destroy the state of Israel. How much more clear can you get that they are the enemy? But yet, on the campuses of some of these schools, the Jewish students are reporting that they are being called Zionists, and companies are making money off of the war in Egypt. Companies make money off of wars wherever they are. But at this particular time, for those of us who are Americans that, you know, try to weigh the situation and be fair to both sides, you can't come up with any other conclusion than this was an outrageous attack on Israel. It killed 1,200 people. There are hostages that haven't been seen since that day, October 7th of 2023, and they deserve some kind of support. And all, I'll just have to tell you, back in the 60s, when Martin Luther King was marching on Washington and he was fighting for civil rights and he was challenging many of the segregation policies that still existed in this country, And you would have thought that he was a terrorist, the way they referred to him at that particular time. 65% of the whites who marched with Dr. King were Jewish. And so I feel
well,
sort
also,
of a responsibility.
My Archbishop, Archbishop Yakovos from the Greek Orthodox Church, marched with Martin Luther King.
He sure did, John, and I met him toward the end of his life and went to his house up in Westchester, and he told me the whole story. His picture is on the famous Life magazine cover with Dr. King and some of the other civil rights leaders. So there was, definitely a contribution from the Greek community and others, but the Jewish community was practically two-thirds of the people who were there. And I think at this point, they deserve somebody to stand with them, and I'm happy to do it.
I understand that. And let me say one other thing. Eisenhower sent in the troops to, was it Little Rock? And then John Kennedy sent in the troops to resolve racial issues or hate issues back in the 50s, 60s. Do you remember those?
Oh, absolutely.
How long do we allow this to go on? And the other question is, at Columbia, how many of these students are students and how many are paid agitators?
Well, you know, in California, when this all started, what they did out there was they allowed the students to protest as long as they had their student IDs. And, of course, that minimized the number of people who were protesting. It also gave you a better idea of who the people were, because outside agitators are always waiting to get involved in these situations. And they did it so quickly this time that I am very suspicious about where all this is coming from, because there's a kind of an anarchist flavor to what's going on these days. Whereas when I was at Columbia and we used to protest about things, it was about the war in Vietnam. It was about civil liberties. It was about issues that even if you disagreed with the students, they had a right to stand there and protest. And they did it peacefully and they did it forcefully. But eventually they got their point across. But this is a situation, I think, that's crying out for leadership. And I don't know that people are standing up and being as proactive as they could be.
I agree with you, and we didn't joke about it, but we made a thing. I mean, all the women's groups, because some of these people hate women, and women have no rights in some of those countries, and the gay groups, these people hate gays and throw them off the roof in some of those countries. And
I don't understand how an LGBT supporter or somebody who is of that ilk would be supporting this, because this is a group of people who have very, very, very provincial points of view. I mean, they would be a lot more popular in the Byzantine era than in 2024, which is what we're seeing.
Agreed, 100%. The leadership of Columbia University. There was a president there that was there forever. I forget his name. Bergoni or president
William
of Columbia.
McGill was president of Columbia for a long time. And
yes.
Then Bergoni was there.
Yeah. And now she's only there for 8 months.
I went to a breakfast with her when she was named. President Shafiq, and a very warm person, I think a real educator. And this is the problem, is you put presidents of universities into these situations. I mean, I dealt with these civil disobedience situations, people standing in front of your office and that type of thing. These presidents don't have that experience. What they need to do is to bring in the people who have had that experience and listen to them. And the other thing is that I think that these university presidents, and one of them from Harvard got fired for this, when you go to these hearings, show some humanity, show some emotion about what happened in these situations. Don't sit there like you're at a house closing or, an interview on finance or something like that. And I think that's where they got in a lot of trouble. It wasn't even as much what they said, but how they said it, and missing that moment when a public official connects with the public, which is there are a lot of people in politics who are very good at doing it. And it's something that I think is missing from the academic industry, and they need to create a course and send some of these presidents to it, because that's where they, in the beginning, that's where they missed the boat, and then they went on, and a lot of them got themselves in a whole lot of trouble.
Understood. Thank you, Governor Patterson, for coming on, and let's hope for the best for our country, our city, our state, our country, and God bless you and God bless America. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
Handling legal matters is stressful. So, let the law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. provide you with the insightful counsel you deserve. The law offices of Frank Bruno Jr. has successfully handled thousands of cases for 25 plus years. They focus on elder law and estate planning, but are equipped to navigate you through all stages of family law and divorce to real estate law and probate. The law offices of Frank Bruno. Call 718-418-5000 or visit them at frankbrunolaw.com. That's frankbrunolaw.com. Frank Bruno. He's your numero uno.